Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hollywood Soup. I am Dizzy D, and thank you for tuning in to Penguin Radio to hear about entertainment news, celebrity gossip, new movie releases, and popular music. I have a bunch of excitement in store for you for the next hour, including my new segments called Movie Monday, True or False, Tunes Talk, and The Dirty Deets. So I just wanted to give you a little background of me before I start off today. I really enjoy entertainment, talk shows, watching reality TV. That is my life, and mostly everything on Netflix as well. So I'm a TV junkie. I always like listening to music. I like going to concerts, and so I feel that I can talk about this with you and give you some knowledge, some updates. And if you're a pop culture junkie like me or just want to get updates, this is a place to listen to who is going deep in the boiling water this week on radio.dominican.edu. So I hope that you're ready because this is the start of my exhilarating show, and I will now jump into my first segment, Movie Monday. So for this segment, every week I will discuss a new movie release from this previous weekend. So Saturday night, I decided to go see a movie called No Good Deed, which earned $8.8 million on their opening night. So I was trying to see a movie, that I would go see this weekend, and there was a few movies coming out, but the one that stuck out to me was No Good Deed. And I first saw the movie trailer, and it looked good to me because I really like suspenseful thrillers, and it kind of reminded to me about the movie Obsessed. I don't know if you've all ever seen it before, but the cinematography of the two movies were very similar, and I started to look deeper into it, and Idris Elba is the main character in both movies, but he plays completely different roles, which I thought was super interesting. So I think that's what got my attention because I really liked the movie Obsessed. In Obsessed, he played this successful businessman who was happily married to his beautiful wife, who was actually played by Beyonce, and I'm obsessed with Beyonce. And they had a little son together, and he got a new temporary worker at his job who was a cute blonde played by Ali Larter. And they found themselves attracted to one another, and the character played by Ali Larter becomes pretty much obsessed with him and ultimately felt led on by him. And she thought that they would eventually be together. So that was kind of the basis of the story. But in No Good Deed, I was expecting somewhat of the same storyline. The film was directed by Sam Miller, and we are first introduced to the character that's played by Idris Elba, whose name is Colin. And he's this charismatic convict who is charged for manslaughter and hopeful to get out of parole. But one of the chairmen of the parole board questions him, and since the vote was not unanimous, he could not get out on parole. And you could see him driving in the van on the way back, and he faked a nosebleed and got a hold of the guard's gun and ends up escaping. So this is when we are introduced to the mother named Terry. She's played by Taraji P. Henson. And she looks like she has her hands full with these two kids. Her best friend Meg comes over to her house, and we can see how stressed out this woman is. And her friend later says that she's going to come by for a girls' night. Then we see Terry's husband, Jeffrey, coming home from work. And he mentions how he has to start packing for a weekend trip that he's going to take for his father's birthday. And we can see him become very annoyed when he's talking to his wife, especially when he is packing. And she asks him if she can run to the store and if he can watch the kids. And he says he's too busy. And so this is when it flashbacks to Colin, and we see him driving in this van, the van that he, you know, escaped from, but he ends up driving it. And he parks in front of a coffee shop to stalk this woman. I'm not really sure. Well, not at the time. I wasn't sure who this woman was, and she was talking to this mystery man. And then Colin breaks into her home and starts terrorizing her and questioning who the man she was with was. And then he does some very violent things to her, and then I think you can guess what happens from there. So then we flash forward to nighttime, and there's this really bad rainstorm happening, and Cullen, drives his van into a tree, crashes it, and stumbles upon Terry's front door, rings the doorbell, and she answers it, and he asks her if he can use the phone. She was pretty hesitant about it at first, and then she let him use her phone, and he stays on the front porch, allegedly makes a phone call, and then she's feeding her kids, she comes back, and then he says that a tow truck's coming, and he goes back into the rain. She feels bad about it, and then she lets him come back in so he could wait for his tow truck inside instead of waiting in the pouring down rain. So when he comes in, she knows there's a cut on his forehead. She helps him cleans it up. And Cullen was very charming to her. You could tell that Terry was attracted to him because she would fix herself in the mirror. You know, she wanted to look good. And then for the girls' night, May comes over later that night and brings a bottle of wine. Terry introduces her to Cullen, and then when Meg offers him a glass of wine, he chugs it in about 2 seconds, probably because he hasn't had wine for so long. And the three of them get to talking on the couch. Terry, after a while, checks up on her kids because they're in bed. And then Cullen goes outside in the garage for a cigarette, and Meg joins him. And the two of them have a conversation about him and Terry and how they met and if there's anything going on between them, because there was an initial attraction, obviously, and she definitely noticed it. And I don't want to give the whole movie away, but this is where this is the part where Cullen gets kind of crazy. And if you ever get the chance to see this movie, there was a really good plot twist towards the end that I was not expecting at all. I was thinking it would be predictable because these types of movies are kind of predictable. And I was relating it to how Obsessed was, and I thought the same events would be happening throughout the movie. And for the most part, they did, but a couple things were different. I just don't want to spoil it for you all, but it was really good. I overall really liked the movie. I would definitely see it again. The only thing that I thought was kind of weird was this one part when it started to rain. And as I mentioned earlier, Terry asked Cullen if he could watch the kids while she goes to the grocery store, and he said no. But she comes back when it's pouring down rain, and there's this scene where they get out of the car, it's pouring down rain, she has the groceries holding onto her kids, and she's running up to the front door, and she happens to drop her cell phone, and she's like, oh crud, you know, and she runs inside, drops off the groceries. And then she comes back outside, grabs her cell phone, picks it up. And then later when Cullen's going psycho, she tries to use the home phone. And, you know, these bad guys are smart. So he cuts the cords for the phone line, for the home phone. She doesn't even try to use her cell phone. The directors or whoever writes the script makes the victims look kind of stupid, if you ask me. They make bad guys look so smart, and these girls are so stupid. Like, use your cell phone. That's what I would go to. But I mean, maybe it happened to break or something. Maybe that's what they were trying to convey, but I don't know. I don't want to assume that. But maybe it broke or something. But I thought it was a good movie. I would definitely see it again. So that was Movie Monday. I hope you enjoyed it. Tune in for next week to hear what movie I decide to go see and review. So now here is Jessie J, Ariana Grande, Nicki Minaj with their hit song, Bang Bang. Like an hourglass, but I can give it to you all the time. She got a booty like a Cadillac, but I can send you into overdrive. I'm
it's Riz in the bottle, it's Nicki, full throttle, it's oh. Swimming in the grotto, we winning in the lotto, we dipping in the pot of blue flow. Show, getting so good, it's dripping, I don't would get a ride in that engine that could go. Batman robbing it, bang bang cocking it, Queen Nicki dominant, prominent. It's me, Jesse and Ari, if they test me, they sorry. Riders up like a Harley, then pull off in this Ferrari. If he hanging, we banging, phone ringing, he slanging. It ain't karaoke night, but get the mic cause I'm singing. G to the A, to the N, to the G, to the A.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to Hollywood Soup with Dizzy D on radio.dominican.edu. I am now going to move on to my next segment, True or False. So for this segment, I am going to be sharing some stories about some true or false facts. So here is my first one. All right, has Ariana Grande ditched her well-known half-up, half-down hairdo? Well, this is true. Most of us have only seen Ariana Grande with her hair in a half-up, half-down hairstyle, but on Thursday, she posted on Instagram a picture letting her hair down. She told her hairstylist to do whatever she wanted instead of doing the same old thing. Last year, she actually posted a status on Facebook explaining why she always has the same hairdo, and it's actually because she had a dyed red every week for 4 years, for her TV show Sam and Cat on Nickelodeon, and her hair got so damaged that she decided to wear this half up, half down hairstyle, and that's the only thing that really, you know, kept her hair looking all right. But, you know, I think she looked great with her hair down in that picture, so I think she should do it more often. So maybe in the future we will see her with some new hairstyles from Miss Ariana Grande. So my next question is, has Natalie Portman published an academic journal? This is false. Not only did Natalie Portman publish one research paper in a scientific journal, she published two. So, Natalie Portman is a Harvard graduating in 2003. So, she has both beauty and brains, but being discovered as a model at 11 years old, and no matter what role she was playing at the time, school was always a number one priority for Natalie. And she even missed the premiere of Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, to study for her high school finals. And if you didn't know, this actress was actually born in Jerusalem, Israel, and moved to the United States when she was only 3 years old, and she's actually fluent in 5 languages. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I never knew that about Ariana Grande, and I hope you didn't either. But maybe you got that question right. So going into my next question, is Justin Timberlake's mother Ryan Gosling's legal guardian? Well, this was true for a short amount of time. Ryan Gosling, the Canadian actor who started off as a child star on the Mickey Mouse Club at the age of 12, had the role of a Mouseketeer, and Justin Timberlake and Ryan Gosling became very good friends on the show. So for 6 months, Ryan Gosling actually lived with Justin Timberlake's family while filming the show because Ryan Gosling's mother had to move back to Canada for work-related reasons, and Justin Timberlake's mother became Ryan Gosling's legal guardian for the time being. So when the Mickey Mouse Club got canceled in 1995, Ryan Gosling moved back to Canada with his mother. So That's sad. I didn't even know they knew each other, but I mean, I never watched the Mickey Mouse Club, so. But keeping it in the Mickey Mouse Club family, I'm going to move on to Britney Spears. So, did Pepsi cancel Britney Spears' contract after being spotted drinking a can of Coke? This is actually true. Earning $8 million working on her Pepsi campaign in 2001, Britney Spears did numerous commercials for major events such as the World Cup. And if you remember those commercials, she was super young and she was dancing all over the place. I really actually like them. But Britney, you know, well, actually Pepsi called it quits after they found out Britney preferred sipping on some Coca-Cola instead. And she actually invested her money in Pepsi's rival brand, Coca-Cola. But this does not even compare to Beyoncé's $50 million deal with Pepsi, but I don't blame Britney. I actually think Coke is better than Pepsi anyways. So, anyways, moving on. Being an old X Factor judge with Britney, has Simon Cowell ever been arrested? This is so true. Simon Cowell admitted to getting arrested for hijacking a bus with a gun. Keep in mind, this happened when Simon Cowell was only 12 years old and it was a BB gun, but nevertheless, him and his friends went on the bus as a joke, pointed the BB gun to the bus driver's head, and told them wherever they wanted to go. So they thought they were getting away with it because the bus driver was doing what they told them to do, but after 20 miles and getting to their stop, there were police cars ready to throw those boys in jail. And, I mean, after that incident, I think we know where Simon gets his little, you know, mean, level-headed, you know, judge ways. But we all know that Simon Cowell makes some big bucks, too. But speaking of big bucks, does Oprah Winfrey make $5 a second? This is false. Oprah makes $10 a second. This adds up to $600 per minute, $36,000 an hour, and $864,000 a day. This successful entrepreneur, talk show host, actress, and producer makes a totaling of $315 million a year. Being one of the most influential women in the world has some advantages, but we all know that Oprah does not hesitate giving back. So, that's great. But moving on to a different topic, does a New York University have a course on twerking? This is false, but they do have a course on the sociology of Miley Cyrus. I would definitely take that course because I'm obsessed with Miley. So assistant professor Carolyn Chernoff of Skidmore University will use Miley as a source of her teaching for this course, the sociology of Miley Cyrus, race, class, gender, and media. Having high hopes for this class, the idea came about after the 2012 MTV VMAs when Miley Cyrus gave that controversial performance, if you all remember, when she introduced her twerking. I mean, tried twerking, but I love her nevertheless. But this last summer was the first time that the university in New York first taught this course to enhance the students' minds, but this professor had no intention on letting Miley Cyrus fans fly by in this course. So throughout this course, students learned how Miley Cyrus rose as a childhood star and her transition to being an adult. Also in this course, students compared other Disney stars such as Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, and Christina Aguilera to see how they aged in the entertainment industry. So I thought that was super interesting. Maybe Dominican should have a course on Miley Cyrus. Just saying. But speaking of Miley Cyrus, let's talk about her godmother, Dolly Parton. So, did Dolly Parton ever enter a Dolly Parton lookalike contest? This is true. And she actually lost to a drag queen. Not kidding. Dolly Parton showed up at a lookalike contest in Santa Monica on the boulevard, and apparently she entered as a joke, but she was one of the smallest girls there, and Dolly Parton could not compare with those over 6 feet tall drag queens. So sorry, but I guess they look more like Dolly Parton than she did. But let's move on to another question. So did Lindsay Lohan get asked to play a role in The Hangover? This is also true. It is. She ended up reading for the part of Jade, stripper, mother, and Stu's alleged bride. Lindsay Lohan was only 22 years old at the time that she read for the part, and that was pretty much the reason why the director, Todd Phillips, thought that she was not right for the part. It was said that Lindsay Lohan turned down the part, but according to the director, Phillips, this was not true. The part of Jade, as we know, went to Heather Graham, who was 39 years old at the time, and even though she did not return for The Hangover Part 2, she ended up with the rest of the gang in the final movie of the series for Hangover Part 3. I think she did very well at the part. I don't know if I could see Lindsay Lohan playing the part. I mean, she could have, but I really like The Hangover the way it is. So, for my last question, did Paris Hilton buy the tiniest Pomeranian for $13,000? I'm serious, this is true, and this just happened. Her pup is currently named Mr. Amazing, but she asked her fans what she should rename him. So she bought this puppy from Betty's Teacup Yorkies in Calgary, Alberta, and there's a video Paris Hilton posted on Instagram, and she compared the size of her dog to her phone case, and it's about the same size. But I have to be honest, this puppy is so cute. It's so small, I would step on him, but he is so adorable. I really want one, but I don't have $13,000 to spend on a dog. I have a dog already, and she's just adorable. So those are my true or false stories that I have for you this week. So now I am going to play a song for you and take a break. But I'm going to leave you with the song Chandelier by Sia.
I push it down, I push it down. I'm the one for a good time call, phone's blowing up. Ring up my doorbell, I feel the love, feel the love. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 3.
All right, welcome back to Hollywood Soup. I'm Dizzy D, and now I'm going to jump into my third segment, Tunes Talk. So you just heard the song Chandelier by Sia. And if you've never heard of Sia, she is an Australian pop singer and songwriter who also has some underlying jazz influences as well. She has been in the industry as a solo artist since 1997, and she has written songs for artists such as Beyonce, Britney Spears, Katy Perry, Rihanna, Lea Michele, Christina Aguilera, Rita Ora, the list goes on and on. Some of the most popular songs Sia has written is Diamonds by Rihanna, Let Me Love You by Neo, and Titanium by David Guetta. So Chandelier is her single on her sixth album, A Thousand Forms of Fear. Her single was released on March 17th, 2014, and made the Billboard charts, peaking at number 8, becoming her first top 10 single on the U.S. charts. The Chandelier music video was nominated for MTV Video of the Year and won the award for the Best Choreography by Brian Heffington. This song, as you just heard, has an electronic ballad, R&B undertones, hip-hop beats, and a reggae feel. If you listen closely to the words, Sia describes the life of a party girl and it leads to alcoholism. You can hear lyrics such as party girls don't get hurt, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, drink. And then throughout the song, you'll hear, I'm gonna live like tomorrow doesn't exist and I'm holding on for dear life. So when I first listened to Chandelier, it was solely because of the music video. Maddie Zelger is a 11-year-old girl who is featured in the music video, but I know her well from Dance Moms. And if you don't know about the show Dance Moms, it's about a dance company in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And these girls on the team range in ages from 10 to 13, roughly. And they are coached by a dance teacher called, her name is Abby Lou Miller. And sometimes Abby Lou Miller doesn't treat the girls that nicely, and the moms get kind of frustrated with that. So they have arguments between the mothers and, you know, whose child is treated better. And then they have also arguments with Abby and, you know, for giving out solos or the group dance, whatever. But now they're in the series right now. They're about to go to nationals and it's a big deal. And at the end of each episode, there's a competition that they go to and they dance. And they are unbelievably amazing. I wish I could dance as well as them. But it's such a great show. And I feel so weird for saying that, but it's so great. But anyways, so I heard that Maddie Zelger was in this music video. And I had no idea it was going to be this good. So I kept watching it over and over again. If you haven't watched it, you need to watch it. But Sia is not in the music video, but Maddie shows her dancing and acting skills very well. She is dressed in a nude shade leotard and a short blonde wig, similar to Sia's hairstyle. And she also has some kind of pink paint on her hands that you can notice throughout the music video. But if you've ever seen the show Dance Moms, the girls usually dance with poise and grace and have very beautiful movements. And that's why I was so intrigued with this music video, because Maddie was the complete opposite. She was more creepy, and it was really cool. It was so cool. But so the first thing you see when watching the music video is an empty living room with some dull colors, with a sofa couch and a coffee table. And then it changes to an empty hallway that's pretty dim. And then after that, it goes to an empty bedroom with no sheets on the bed or blankets on the bed, and then some drawings on the walls, and then you see another couch in the bedroom as well. But this whole apartment seems kind of lifeless and vacant, but then you see Maddie climbed all on the door of the wall in the bedroom, and the music starts, and then she jumps out and she starts to dance. And as the song goes on, Maddie, the dancer, moves from room to room, and she uses the furniture in each room while she's dancing, and she almost looks possessed in a way. And she expressed the story so much. And even if you looked at her eyes the whole time, she is completely conveying. And in the show Dance Moms, Maddie is really known for her face and having so much emotion. And this totally proves that, because in her music video. It was just amazing. So I give her props for that. But the way she twirls and her blonde hair flies up, it reminds me of just being carefree. And she was just so, so incredible in this music video. But at one point in the music video, Maddie runs from the hallway into the living room and she wraps the curtains from the window around herself, and she focuses in, or the camera focuses in on her face, and she grasps the curtains with her hands and she moves them, her hands higher and higher up, to making it harder for her to breathe. And then she has this sigh of relief and sways with the curtains, and then she breaks free. And it was one of the best parts of the music video for me, and because it has so much emotion and she's not even dancing and she's conveying that character so well. So throughout this music video, like I said, she's kind of creepy and crazy, but in that moment she's so calm. And by the end of the music video, Maddie is in the doorway curtsying with this big grin on her face and big eyes. So I mean it's probably one of the best music videos I've seen in a long time. So if you haven't seen it, I definitely recommend it. And so this is what I kind of find interesting about Sia personally. She performed on the Ellen DeGeneres show a couple months back, and she actually was facing the corner of the set with her back against the audience, and Maddie recreated this music video, and they both started to perform. Ellen announced that, you know, Sia chooses not to face her audience while singing. And then a couple months later, I think this was the beginning of August probably, right before Chelsea Lately, she appeared on the show and she did the whole interview with her with their backs against the audience and their chairs were pointed against each other. And you can see the profile of Chelsea's face, but you couldn't see Sia's at all. You could just only see the back of her head. And she also disclosed some interesting information about the song Chandelier. She mentions that she writes her songs in a weird way, and Chelsea Handler called it an alien giving birth. Sia starts off making noises, and she finally produces a tune with lyrics. And she also confirms that she is sober. And in the past, she has struggled with the pressures of fame, and she became addicted to alcohol and drugs, and she even contemplated committing suicide. But the song Chandelier did not correlate with her pressure, she said. It was just another pop song. And it seems that the reason she now performs with her back against the audience is because she doesn't want to have a relapse or have the weight of perfection on her shoulders. And I mean, I think that's great if she doesn't want to have that pressure, do whatever you want. You know, she's an amazing artist. And without even knowing what the song was really about when I first heard it, I just immediately admired the tone of her voice and the beat of the song as well. It was just really interesting and nothing that I've heard in a while. But you can hear the emotion in her voice, and during the chorus it almost sounds like she's screaming, but it sounds so amazing and it adds so much passion to the song. And apparently she was gonna give the song to another artist, maybe Rihanna or Beyonce, but I think Sia sang the song so well, and I don't think anybody could have pulled it off quite like her. But I think what else makes Sia such a great artist is that I've read so many different things about her, and she does what she loves to do, and it's not about the fame, it's just what makes her happy. And she wanted to quit being a solo artist, but because she likes to write the songs and writing songs for other people. But I mean, if she sang this song so well, I think she definitely should keep being an artist. So that was my segment, Tunes Talk, and this is radio.dominican.edu. I will be back after this short break, but here is the song Drive by Miley Cyrus.
Drive my heart to the night.
drop the keys off in the morning.
In the morning. If forever's out the door, I'll ignore when you call. Drop the keys off in the morning. Cause I don't wanna leave.
You are still listening to Hollywood Soup on Penguin Radio. This is Dizzy D, and for my last segment today, it is called The Dirty Deets. So The Dirty Deets is your source of entertainment gossip from all over Hollywood. So there were a couple of weddings this weekend. Lauren Conrad, former reality star of Laguna Beach and The Hills, got married to her fiancé, singer-songwriter William Tell, along the California coast this weekend on Saturday, September 13th. So the couple ended up meeting on Valentine's Day of 2012 after being set up on a blind date, and they've been engaged since October 2013. And I thought it was kind of interesting that they both actually grew up in Orange County, which was kind of interesting. So, but what's even more weird is another Hills reality star tied the knot on Saturday as well. Holly Montag and Richie Wilson got married in Colorado after a year of an engagement. So I guess September 13th is the magical day for these couples, and I wonder if this will become a trend for Hill Stars for the years to come. So this is kind of a big story right now, controversial. Kanye West had supposedly an awkward concert in Sydney, Australia this weekend. Kanye stopped the music in the middle of his performance and asked everybody to rise off their seats and stand on their feet. While most of the audience members did, there were a couple of fans in the audience who couldn't because they were in wheelchairs. And there's a YouTube video that was released, recorded by an audience member, where you can hear the entire audience booing at these people and then chanting at them to stand up. And Kanye then claims that this was the longest time that he had to wait to perform his song. And I was shocked by what he said, but I'm shocked by most of the things that this guy says. So it really wasn't a surprise to me at all. But I hope someone punched him in the face after he got off stage, because personally, I spent most of my time in a wheelchair this summer because I got knee surgery, and thank God I'm able to move now. But I mean, I could hobble while I was on crutches and wheelchair. But these people might have spent their whole lives in these wheelchairs, and just the fact that Kanye West was delaying his show so much to address these people is absolutely ridiculous. And the kind of, I don't know, I've always had this hate for Kanye West after the Taylor Swift thing that happened a couple years back. And I love Kim Kardashian. I mean, I don't love her. I like the Eller Kardashians a little bit more than her, but I support her for sure. And I support Keeping Up with the Kardashians. It's just, I don't know, just Kanye is just, seems like he loves Kim so much, but then he does stuff like this to make him look like a, you know what. But anyways, moving on. Apparently, okay, this is another one that makes me mad. Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez are dating again. Surprise, surprise. They went to Vegas this weekend and stayed at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. And the fact that Selena Gomez would get back together with Justin Bieber is baffling to me, because, okay, I admit, I used to love Justin Bieber, and I really admired him as an artist. I went to his concert in what? I went to his concert like 2 years ago. Not kidding. I went to his concert. I really liked him at a calendar and everything. And after he got arrested for his DUI, he started acting like a buffoon and a thug, and he thought he was cooler than everybody else, but obviously he's not. And I just don't really like the way that he's become. And for Selena Gomez, so many little girls and young girls look up to her. I don't know why she would want to be associated with someone like Justin Bieber, and I don't know why she would, let alone date him. But whatever, what do you expect? I guess this flame of this off again on again relationship will never die. But put the separations to rest, people. Jay-Z and Beyonce are possibly having a second child. After an emotional performance on their last show of the On the Run tour, they both expressed their love to one another on stage. Also during the show, Jay-Z changed his lyrics to one of his songs called Beach Is Better to correlate with this big announcement. He changed the lyrics from I replace it with one another one to pregnant with another one. So don't be shocked if you hear that this power couple gives Blue Ivy a brother or sister. And I am so happy because, like I said before, I love Beyonce and she deserves the best. And I mean, it seems like she's happy and that's all I want. So yay for Bay. Okay, so now, as we know, this is not the same for Khloe Kardashian and French Montana. And like I said before, I really like the Kardashians, and Khloe is one of my favorites. I think she is the funniest person ever. And then I like Kylie Jenner because she is just a rock star. But it was originally said that Khloe and French Montana broke up. And I guess the whole reason it happened was Khloe found that French Montana was a little needy, but then he really wanted to get back with her, and I guess now French Montana is all smiles because he's working on different projects, new music, movies, and working with his own artists. So it will be interesting how these exes interact, because they're both going to be on Courtney and Khloe Take the Hamptons. So I've seen previews of the show. I don't know if you've you all have, but the two seem very close, and the whole family kind of seems questioning about the relationship, so we'll see what happens on the show. So I'm excited to see it when it premieres. But in sadder news, last Friday would have been Paul Walker's 41st birthday, and some of his family members paid a little tribute. Paul Walker's daughter, Meadow, posted a throwback picture to commemorate her father, who died last year. And also his brother, Cody, posted a picture on Facebook and was reminded of the endless memories that they shared. And also yesterday, a statue of Amy Winehouse was revealed in London in the Staples Market. The statue paid tribute to her signature style and hairdo. Her father, Mitch, was the main reason that this statue was created, and both of her parents admired how great the statue turned out. So sad to see those two go, but their legacy lives on forever. And getting back into some fun stuff, I thought this was hilarious. Last Thursday, Nicki Minaj was denied going back to her high school to do a speech. She posted on Twitter and didn't give a reason why this high school wouldn't let her make an appearance, but the New York Department of Education explained that the graduates could only come back and visit the school if they didn't interrupt the students' learning. The school also doesn't allow reality TV cameras on their property, so this could have played a role in it, but I guess maybe she was gonna film it, I don't know, but that's why she wasn't allowed to speak apparently. But I thought that was pretty funny. But next up, last night was the 60th year annual Miss America pageant, and if you don't already know, spoiler alert, Miss New York won, and she ended up winning the crown and the title of Miss America and also a $50,000 prize scholarship. And she, for her talent, I don't know if any of you saw this, but she sang the hit song Happy by Pharrell Williams. And then she also had a red cup with the beat also seen in Pitch Perfect, which I thought was kind of interesting. Some people thought it was corny, but I thought it was kind of fun and interesting to watch. I don't think anybody else would have that idea, but I liked her talent a lot. It definitely stood out to me. But she wore this gorgeous white gown, and it was backless. She looked like she was on the red carpet. I thought it was timeless, and I really thought she looked beautiful. But she kind of walked weird to me. I don't know. She kind of like, I don't know. Just something about the way she walked, I didn't like. It wasn't very graceful to me. She looked confident for sure, but I just don't really think that out of everything that we saw last night, I don't think she was the one who should have won. I don't know. But I don't know. So thank you guys. I hope you enjoyed this week's show. Tune in on next Monday at 3 to hear who's going deep in the boiling water on Hollywood Soup with me, Dizzy D. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter at DizzyD_DU for updates throughout the week. So have a great rest of your week, and thank you for listening.